sure seems to feel the same way too. Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. You're listening to Problem Corner, and that's my brother who's making all that racket over there. My God. Anyway, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255 if you want to call in. Welcoming my brother Dana Pruse. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good today, Dave. How are you?
Doing well. We already got a phone call. You are one loved person, Dana. You ready for the hot seat already?
I guess so.
I can't take you anywhere.
I know. Well, I'm older. I get to go wherever I want.
Okay, here we go. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Yeah, hi. My name is Kaya. And don't worry. You don't have to sit on the hot seat.
Kaya, I know what you're calling about. Yes, that is a construction camp. Now I'm trying to figure out where that location is going. That is on property that's owned by the owner, a consortium of people, of exclusive landscaping. And so give me about another few days, and I'll give them a call, and I'll see where that's going for you, okay?
Yeah. Hey, and I have another question.
Mm-hmm.
How would I find out where I can get a really good Thanksgiving dinner to pick up and take home?
I know that the Westmark is doing that, and I believe Pike's Landing does that.
The Westmark used to do it. They did it during COVID, but now it's a buffet, and they won't give you an order to go.
My thought would be Pike's Landing, Jeffrey B., give them a call and see if they're doing that, and also give the Pump House, they're probably doing something like that, a phone call, and let me do some checking around for you on that, too, and it's food. It's what I do. And it's you. It's what I do for you.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's great. I just, I haven't been invited to Thanksgiving dinner for probably 10 years because I don't really know people up here. So, and I hate trying to cook it myself. I'm not as savvy as you are in the kitchen.
Well, that means you're smarter. No dirty dishes. That's a big event. You have a great day, okay?
All right. You too. Thank you.
Bye, Kaya. Well, Dana, welcome to Fairbanks.
Well, it's good to be back, Dave. I see it's a little snowy here.
Just a little bit. How's Anchorage?
We had our first snow a couple days ago, and it looks like it's going to stick, and it's nice to see it all white instead of brown.
You have a lot of hats. You have Pruse Corporation. You have a sand and gravel business out in the valley. You're the chairman of ADA, and that also makes you the chairman of the Alaska Energy Authority. Let's look at the Alaska Energy Authority. You guys are going to get really busy here really soon.
Well, the organization, Dave, obviously is a state organization with a board of directors, and fortunately I've been the chair for the last 10 years. In the last 12 months, the organization has been fortunate to pick up about $700-800 million worth of projects to do around the state that obviously the Energy Authority doesn't execute the projects. They just administer the grant monies. And so I think the biggest latest one is a rail belt transmission line upgrades that for a couple hundred million that is the process right now. And it's basically state and federal dollars coming into the state for what I would call transmission reliability. We have a what I call a patched transmission system between Homer and Fairbanks, and it definitely needs upgrade. And so looking forward to executing some new projects with that. And then on top of that, there's a few hundred million dollars worth of rural projects that are coming down the pipeline for smaller communities and power generation and also for bulk fuel storage.
Alaska is a little bit different than, say, the lower 48. You have much smaller scale utility companies that have a high debt service, so to speak, to get there. Do you deal with any of those issues or those companies?
Well, typically the RCA does that, and obviously we as a state own some assets. We own Bradley Lake under the Energy Authority and a 120-mile transmission line essentially between Wasilla and Healy. And so, we kind of get a seat at the table And we kind of look at it from a 20,000 foot level for all the residents in the, whether it's the rail belt or rural Alaska. And, you know, we try to play the game that, you know, there's no special interest where we'll say one co-op gets advantage over another. But, you know, over the last 40 or 50 years, the co-op model, my personal opinion, doesn't quite fit. In the old days when they weren't connected, you know, they had to do their own power generation, their own transmission within their service area, and then distribution. Well, today, the transmission line, especially in the rail belt, which is 3/4 of the population,
all connected.
And so, you know, as you can imagine, if power goes through a different co-op's grid, whether they want to charge money, mm-hmm. to the end user. So, unfortunately, Fairbanks, in my opinion,
is the end user.
And so, you know, you spoke about debt. Most of the rail belt utilities are managing their debt quite well. I wouldn't, my personal opinion is I wouldn't call that for Chigak Electric in Anchorage. Mm-hmm. They've got an 87% debt to equity ratio, which is, in my view, you know, quite high. And ultimately, the rate payers are responsible for that. But I think they're trying to work through that. And I think they have some things through the RCA to help with that, and we'll see where that goes.
Okay. You were very instrumental in having Ada acquire the Fairbanks Natural Gas Corporations and the sister companies through Ada.
Well, that, you know, with consultation with you and
other, I brought you the thought.
And other Fairbanks, you know, people. You know, Fairbanks Natural Gas was basically serviced downtown Fairbanks, and then Interior Gas Utility was more borough-oriented. And at the end of the day, you know, having two competing organizations, you know, nothing gets successful. There's just not enough market share and not enough people to, you know, support the cost, the capital cost to do it. So in my view, the best thing to do is to try to figure out a way to consolidate it under one. And Fairbanks Natural Gas is owned by a you know, independent organization out of the Midwest, Upper Midwest, and so it was purchased through Ada. Then, with the end goal being put it in with IGU, and have one gas utility, and ultimately, you know, save the ratepayers money and have a consistent energy source and a consistent price, and so it's not so volatile with the price of oil.
You were able to use SB 21. Financing that was done during the Parnell administration.
Yeah, that's correct. That's just when I got on the board.
As tools to really facilitate this and give Fairbanks a very good start to get a good, sustainable, cheaper natural gas.
Well, I think there's three things that play into it. Obviously, people look at the cost, but reliability is another one. And sustainable is the other. So all three of them play into it. But at the end of the day, you really want the community to be able to guide itself. As an old Fairbanks kid, you know, I think, you know, Fairbanks has the talent up here to know what's best for themselves, their community, and having one gas utility, I think, is a good thing. Instead of having two and one having ownership in the lower 48, that their matrix and their rate of returns weren't quite in line with what the community would wanted.
Yeah, when I thought about it, I thought their rate of return was always more.
Again, investment organizations, they do require more. I mean, they just have to.
Yeah.
And versus, you know, what I would call government, municipal, or state-owned organizations, that, you know, their tax structure is different and their goals are actually different. So, you know, if you're a stockholder in a public company or even a private company, that, you know, you expect a rate of return, you expect stock growth, you know, that's how you eventually have, you know, money to retire off of. Whereas in government, the goal is to have sustainability, reliability, and the best pricing.
There you go. Fairbanks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 907-458-TALK. That's 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
So how's your memory? Can you remember this name? It's Living Waters Plumbing and Mechanical. It's pretty simple, but it's a name you want to be familiar with. You see, good plumbers, plumbers who can get to your problem quickly and do a top-quality job fixing it all at a reasonable price, well, let's simply say they're scarce. Living Waters Plumbing and Mechanical is quick to the problem. They're quick to the solution. And when you have no heat, or you have a bad plumbing leak, your HVAC isn't working, or your pipes are frozen, you want your problem fixed. So who do you call? I told you to remember the name. It's Living Waters Plumbing and Mechanical. Boilers and water heaters, snow melt systems, of course, drain cleaning. They also own Victory Drains. And you'd be surprised how much more. So look, you don't have to try to remember the phone number. Just remember the name and look it up from there. One more time now. Say it with me. Living Waters. Right. Living Waters Plumbing and Mechanical. Okay. Well done.
The most interesting thing you could be doing November 8th is winning $10,000. The Yukon Quest raffle is scheduled for November 8th at Ivory Jack's. Only 250 tickets are being sold, and each ticket is just $100. Buying a ticket includes dinner at Ivory Jack's the night of the raffle, but you do not need to be present to win. Tickets can be purchased at any of these businesses, Ivory Jack's and the Botel Bar, or they can be purchased from the Yukon Quest office downtown. Get your Yukon Quest raffle ticket today, and you could win $10,000 on November 8th.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy skies today with a chance of snow. High of 17, easterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Chance of snow again tonight. Lows level off around 8 above. Mainly clear skies. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 26. A dusting of snow today with another dusting tomorrow night through Thursday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Pruse in the studio here with Dana Pruse. So, you got the Pruse brothers. Where's Danny? Where's the middle one at?
Well, he's in Prescott in the sun.
He's the smartest one, not in this room.
Yeah, he's weak.
That jerk. Now, ADA, you know, we talked a little bit about the Alaska Energy Authority, and you're the chairman of ADA, which has a very big investment. You this approved another $7.2 million, I believe, going into your Ambler Road project, the Road to Riches.
Well, you know, the Ambler Road is a road to a we'll call it to a point in the state of Alaska where there's a mining district. It doesn't necessarily go to one mine.
Mm-hmm.
The mining district is, which has been talked about and planned since before statehood, the south slopes of the Brooks Range. So Ambler Metals, a mine that's owned by two different organizations, they've probably, between the investments and stuff, close to spent to maybe $300 million plus or minus so far out there. They do need a transportation corridor to get the product out. And I kind of look at the Ambler Road, if you're referring to that, that's 211 miles, but really it's 211 miles of a 760-mile transportation corridor because you have to get it to, you know, a port and tidewater somewhere. And, you know, whether it's South Central Alaska, Seward, Valdez, I think ADA is doing a study to see where the best is. But at the end of the day, a natural resource port has to be in play. So the 211 miles is what everybody's focused on. But from a investment standpoint, and the way ADA looks at it is it's 760. So how do you transport a product that's safe, efficient, reliable, and doesn't disrupt the community?
There was recently in the paper, I think it was yesterday or on Sunday's paper, there was an open house question and answering put on by the BLM. Now, what got me was they only have 26 of these miles that goes across federal land.
That's correct. Yeah, and they're driving the boat.
Yeah. And
yeah.
Again, it...
In all honesty, David, what's really happened is under the previous administration, federal president, you know, they gave a record decision, they gave a route, The Biden administration came in and basically has done everything they can to either slow, stall, kill the road itself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty obvious. And of course, it plays into a bigger picture, you know, for the state of Alaska on, you know, accessing the state's minerals. And, you know, these things pay the state's bills, and in the state constitution, it was anticipated. I mean, we're not going to get, you know, people building microchips up here or Ford Motor Company or whatever. The state of Alaska has a lot of natural resource, both renewable and non-renewable assets. And so, you know, mining has put the state on the map, actually put the country on the map back in the 1890s. And so this is just an extension, in my view, of what the state of Alaska is all about. So it's a 211-mile road. State owns 67% of that. I think Doyon owns a small percentage. NAN owns a smallest percentage. The feds own a smallest percentage. And, you know, the legislature back under the Parnell administration, Road Resources, ultimately it fell in Ada's lap to try to progress a right-of-way and a transportation corridor to a mining district. I will tell you that there's more than one mine up there in that area right now that's doing a lot of exploration, an anticipation of an access corridor, it's long-term jobs. You know, Ada's mission not only is this rate of return for the state investment, but just as important is long-term permanent jobs. And mining plays a big role in that, and we as a board take that very, very seriously.
I had some guests on yesterday at Laundry House King, and I asked them a very specific question. Has a caribou population ever changed its route because of a road? And the answer was no.
No, I think, you know, if you look at the Taylor Highway,
that's what they brought up.
Yeah, I think that's...
And the Dalton Highway.
And the Dalton, but the Taylor for sure.
And they also brought up the Parks Highway.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't think that's the case at all. You know, it's... And in this instance, there really isn't a community within 20 to 50 miles of the road. Some of them are, you know, 100 miles away. So it would be like, you know, someone in... If you had a project in Fairbanks, it would be someone down in... You know, almost past McKinley Park, trying to influence your project up here.
Yeah,
and that's some of these communities are that way. Now, that all being said, the goal is for economic opportunities for those communities and put people to work long term jobs. And I think you go to the Red Dog mine itself. There's 600 employees out there.
And you built a road.
And the Ada has the road, and they have the port. I mean, that's a success story. Now, it's 50 miles versus 211, but that's kind of the blueprint that we're trying to use. That road is you know, it's been successful. Mine operator has been very, very successful at the community needs, you know, workforce development, and we would hope the same thing would happen in the Ambler Mining District.
What's the next step for Ada and the Ambler Mining Road?
Well, right now what we're doing is what they call the cultural resources investigation, which basically means you have a lot of archaeologists going out there on the right-of-way within 1 or 5 miles, maybe even 10, seeing if there's any traditional hunting sites, campsites, you know, making sure there's nothing that's what would cause a problem putting the road in. We would like to do some geotechnical work. The 211-mile road has 47 bridges, which are seven main crossing rivers, 2,600 culverts. And so we, you know, obviously have to go out and do a lot of due diligence to make sure that whatever's built is done properly. But we're going to build a Chevrolet. We're not going to build a Cadillac.
Mm-hmm.
And we want the road to be expandable, i.e., if, you know, lane and a half wide initially, maybe going to two lane as more mines come online, as more traffic. And of course, it's a restricted industrial road. So at the beginning of the, you know, you get on the road, you know, you've got to have the proper documentation, insurance. I believe that everybody have a GPS tracker. You know, there's no services for that 211 miles. There'll probably be
eventually. You're on your own.
There'll be maintenance camps,
mm-hmm.
And there'll be you know, ore trucks on it. So, so the other thing is that they'll be monitoring, you know, the caribou and the moose and what's going on and you know, if there's any conflicts with that.
Our statehood compact, or statehood pact rather, allows us to right-of-ways across federal properties.
Well, not only that, David, but a federal mining claim authorizes you have to have access. You have to have access, and there's a lot of federal mining claims in the Ambler Mining District.
And ANILCA addresses in favor of the state for that. Recognize that, right?
Well, the state compact recognizes right-of-ways. ANILCA recognizes that any previous right-of-way that was in place stays in place. And but at the end of the day, state of Alaska, at least through ADA, you know, we want to be partners with all the landowners that make sure that everybody feels like they're part of the solution, not the problem, and opportunities. Both, you know, whether you live in Fairbanks or Bettles or Ellicott, I mean, those are Hughes. I think it's important that everybody feels like they have an opportunity.
Long road.
It's a long road. It's going to be
literally.
Yeah. It's again the challenge is right now with the BLM and Department of Interior and trying. You know, like I said, ADA was given a record decision in the right of way, and then with the new administration they pulled it back, saying that more studies had to be done, and it just deployed a delay, and hopefully the state, you know. Past my tenure on ADA board, we'll have the wherewithal and the tenacity and capability to keep going.
What about ANWR? ADA is the largest track lessee, up there. That was because of you.
Well, the goal there was to preserve state rights.
Yes.
You know, after... I mean, we've been hearing about ANWR since we were kids.
Yeah.
And finally something came out, and we wanted to make sure that, you know, the leases were, when they came out for bidding, that we put the minimum in to make sure that the...
It came out to the public.
To the public, that's right. And it's really, again, it's the state's fight for access and its resources that were promised. And, again, the administration is trying to do everything it can to challenge that, and so that ultimately, I mean, all this stuff ends up in, will probably end up in the Supreme Court, and which is unfortunate, but that's the way of the world.
How many leases were there, and then how many did you get?
Well, don't hold me to this. I think we got seven, and it's funny. We the ADA paid the lease, you know, the prices, and then. The feds, when the Biden administration came in, they tried to give the money back. And of course, we wouldn't take it. I think it's $12 million or $20 million or some number. And we said, no, we're the rightful leaseholder, and you can't give it back.
Yeah,
and
we're not subjugating our right.
That's exactly right. And so it really, it's Alaskans have fought very, very hard for that opportunity. And, you know, we decided to take the challenge on and make sure that we protected that. And eventually go down a path that makes it successful. Ultimately, we don't want to be a oil company or own leases, and hopefully the private industry will pick it up at some point in time, but someone has to arm wrestle with the federal government on it.
Just like you did with IGU.
Correct.
Yeah. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We're going to listen to some bumper music that obviously Glenn Anderson put on here because it's the police and oh my God. Then we have some Fox News, some state news, some commercials, some weather, and we will be back.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Ron DeSantis picking up a pretty big endorsement. Iowa's Governor Kim Reynolds. She says she believes Republicans can't gamble on another Donald Trump candidacy.
We need a president that is focused on the future and not the past. And we need a president who puts Americans and America first. And I'm here to tell you that that man is Ron DeSantis.
Well, the former President Trump's lawyer, Alina Habba, says the judge in his New York civil fraud trial is not letting himself defend the case. Here she is on the Fox News Channel.
He was cutting him off every time there was good testimony, every time there was testimony that explained how ridiculous this is.
Well, the judge did emphasize several times Trump was in court to answer questions about the case, not to talk politics or other subjects. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
KTVF reports for years, both the Last Frontier and the nation have faced a rise in syphilis cases. In Alaska, the data points to younger heterosexual adults as the main population contracting the illness. According to the Division of Epidemiology, syphilis has been on the rise in the Last Frontier since 2018. A recent published report shows there were an additional 424 cases in 2022 alone. During the COVID-19 pandemic, there was reduced access pretty much across the state and across the nation to STI screening opportunities and services, said Julia Rogers, an epidemiologist with the Alaska Department of Health. This led to more infections going undetected, allowing further spread. Data also shows syphilis is mostly being contracted by people under 35 years of age in Alaska. Rogers said this might be related to a lack of stable relationships for younger adults. As a disclaimer, these numbers are based on reported cases, but more Alaskans are likely to be infected than the documented numbers. Current estimates suggest there are 54 cases per 100,000 people in Alaska.
Online at
KFAR660.com. At Batteries Plus, they want to know, what moves you? Is it an SUV, a motorcycle, a golf cart? Whatever moves you drives them. Stop in or shop online at BatteriesPlus.com.
It's Tickets for Turkeys time again with KFAR Radio and your Fairbanks Ice Dogs. The Fairbanks Community Food Bank needs 2,000 turkeys this year to fill their Thanksgiving food boxes. So we've teamed up with the Fairbanks Ice Dogs to help. For every turkey you drop off at the Fairbanks Community Food Bank on 26th Avenue, you'll get an entry to win a night with your Fairbanks Ice Dogs. You'll get 4 front row seats on the glass, 4 Tommy G brats delivered right to your seats, and you get to watch warm-ups from the Ice Dogs bench. Since there are no Ice Dogs home games in December, this prize package is for Friday night, January 12th, when the Dogs take on the Anchorage Wolverines. A great way to start out the new year. Turkeys will be accepted through November 21st, and we will announce our winner on the 23rd. The more birds you bring in, the more chances you have to win. It's Tickets for Turkeys time again with KFAR Radio and your Fairbanks Ice Dogs.
Abby was released from prison after serving time for a minor crime. She was dropped in a parking lot near a soup kitchen in Anchorage, and instantly she was homeless. Without food, phone, or money, she made it to Fairbanks, only to find her family network was no longer in place. Rather than couch surf, risking victimization by men who prey on homeless women trapped by the cold, she made the decision to spend the winter in a tent. By February, worn down by the intolerable cold and moisture in the tiny space, she contracted pneumonia. Burning with fever, Abby made it to the rescue mission. She met a young woman there who told her about the love of Jesus, then showed that love by spending the night at the ER as Abby's condition stabilized. Abby returned to the mission and her life was saved. Without you, there is no mission, and Abby's story ends in the tiny dark tent. Please donate today at FairbanksRescueMission.org. That's FairbanksRescueMission.org.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Pruse in the studio here with my brother Dana Pruse. If you have a question for us, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Ada, you have a really interesting expansion going into the West Susitna.
Well, we're working with the Department of Transportation. It's called the Wet Susitna Access Corridor. And basically, it comes from the Point McKenzie area to the Susitna River.
Are you gonna interrupt a caribou herd?
No caribou herds. And then hopefully get across the Susitna River with a bridge, and then at some point northwest of that, there may be an industrial road to access, you know, natural resources. That's where ADA would come into play on that part of it. DOT would play in the part from, obviously, from to the bridge, crossing the bridge. And the whole idea is that there's tens of thousands of state and Mat-Su borough lands, acreage on the west side of the Susitna River that's essentially hard to access for folks and that have open access. And so that would be the goal. And I think DOT is working hard on it to see it happen.
You know, on the personal side, what was it like having Bernie Carl on your board? And now what's it like not having Bernie Carl on your board?
Well, you know,
because you guys became friends.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, it was great, and I had a Nerf mallet every once in a while that I have to use on Bernie.
Bernie.
But you know, you got to understand Bernie's heart's always in the right place, and he always wants to do the right thing, and you know, sometimes it's a little rough on the edges and a little unfiltered, but once you understand where his heart is, what he wants to do, and how he wants to, you know, he's very bright.
Extremely.
And so I think it's good. You know, he's been successful. You know, he's got his Caterpillar did that story on him. You know, mm-hmm. which I think is just amazing. Talked about tenacity and wherewithal to start from nothing and go somewhere. But so he was a great resource on our board, and you know, gave a lot of ideas. You know, ADA, for those that don't understand it, ADA stands for Alaska Development Export Authority. And it has a bunch of pillars. You know, obviously the Ambler Road, West Susitna Access, those are up in front of people all day long. But we also, you know, can invest in projects independently. You know, we're the state development finance arm. We also finance for Alaska businesses, only Alaskans, whether it's real estate assets, buildings, hotels. And lastly, we do own a few assets that we lease out to businesses if it makes sense. And the goal really, though, is to put opportunity in Alaska citizens' hands for them to be successful.
Most people don't realize that in the banking world, you partner with banks that take a lot of the risk of a loan.
We do. One of our silos is the loan portfolio with banks. We sometimes take up to 90% of the loan, where our interest rates are obviously a lot more palatable, to customers. But the banks do the service. It's the bank's customer. ADA looks at that. If we can help the banks service their customers, that's a good thing. We do not want to get in between the bank and their customer. We want to facilitate success and hopefully more opportunities, and ultimately put people to work on a full-time basis. And so, typically, you know, we can give certainty. As you, being in the real estate business yourself, can understand, when you can have a fixed rate interest rate, and you can have it for 20 or 25 years. And if ADA takes up to 90% of that loan, your bank still facilitates it. It's easy. The bank typically gets their money out 5 to 7 years, so they can turn it. That's how they make money, so they can stay in business. ADA looks at it more long term, and so whether it's a commercial piece of property or a business or whatever, you know, it's got to be hard asset, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I think it works, and so in today's world, you know, you probably know better than I do as far as the commercial side, but ADA is in the 6% range, fixed for 20 years.
That's golden.
It is golden. And so when the interest rates were down low, 2 or 3%, you know, it wasn't so exciting. But I can tell you that there is a lot of pre-flights in the ADA portfolio right now, people with good, solid investments and projects that ADA is looking at, and we look to facilitate being successful with them.
This is what I like to ask people of our generation. What was the interest rate on your first house loan?
Oh, my goodness. I think it was 16%.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I remember when loan rates went under 7.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, my God, they're under 7.
No, 16%. And I think my first car loan and when I got out of college was like 20. And, I mean, you did everything you could to pay it off as fast as you could.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's – it's a so, you know, Ada brings that to the table, and we bring it in as a partner with the local banks. And I think it's a good thing. And so whether it's a commercial building, an asset, I mean, we've done things from buildings to hotels to equipment, you know, long-term type equipment. Mining assets. I think it's a – you know, there is no such thing as long as it makes sense. The one thing that Ada does require is that the borrower has 25% equity into the program, and obviously have the wherewithal to make the loan payments. But the bank does all that. They do all the vetting.
Yeah. COVID. Hotels.
Yeah.
That should have been interesting.
Well, you know, we adjusted, which is nice because Ada has the ability to do that. During COVID, I remember I'm the only one sitting in the boardroom. Everybody else is calling in. But we adjusted. I think we adjusted.
That Zoom thing.
I think we adjusted to go from principal interest to interest only and deferred interest 200 loans to help Alaska businesses during the COVID period.
Yeah.
And it took a lot of work. I've got to commend the staff. You know, some working remote, some coming in for a day, as long as other people are around. I mean, they did a great service to the what I would call the commercial their customers,
mm-hmm.
working with the banks to facilitate so that the businesses would not default, and you know, Ada has that ability, and so you know we don't have a national strategy or some sort of a policy that you go to this point and you're done. We kind of looked at the situation. And 200 loans were modified, and we did that within 90 days.
That saved a lot of jobs.
It did, and a lot of businesses, and obviously, you know, it's proprietary information.
We can't
run around telling everybody we did this and we did that.
Yeah.
The goal is to help Alaskans, and that's what Ada does.
So within 90 days, you did 200 loan modifications.
Correct.
So you're doing two and a half loan modifications every day.
That's correct.
7 days a week.
So they, like I said, I, you know, as a board member, you know, we did our part as often as we had could, but really it really goes to the Department of Commerce and Ada, and their staff working very, very hard for the citizens of the state.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
We choose to live in Alaska. Yeah, it gets cold, but that's just part of it. The ice and snow, the price of fuel, we can't control them. So we prepare. We reduce our net cost with a new Blaze King wood stove and a shed full of dry firewood. With a smaller carbon footprint than oil or natural gas, it's better for the environment. Check out the Blaze King wood stoves at the Woodway. Be prepared. Whatever comes, the Alaskan way, the right way, the Woodway.
It starts with spaghetti noodles and boiling water. A combination of beef, breadcrumbs, parsley, and of course garlic to form the meatballs. Slowly sauteing the meatballs with mushrooms, onions, and more garlic. Placing the spaghetti on a plate topped with old world style marinara sauce and 3 flavorful meatballs. A sprinkle of Parmesan on top of it all, your mouth begins to water. You open your eyes, you're at Giraldo's.
Your miraculous eyes connect you to your world. Every moment, every task, every day of your life. They gather the light, the movement, and colors and bring your life into focus. They even express your deepest thoughts and feelings. Protect them. Call the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks. Your team of ophthalmologists, optometrists, and opticians. Providing medical and surgical eye care, fashion eyewear, and prescription lenses. The Eye Clinic of Fairbanks. Your eye health professionals on Mini Street. Visit eyeclinicoffairbanks.com.
If you're planning on taking a trip to Anchorage for your holiday shopping or just to get away, the Hyatt Place Anchorage Midtown is ready for you. Their rooms are large, clean, and comfortable with one of the friendliest teams you'll find at Anchorage. All their rates include breakfast, complimentary wireless internet, complimentary parking, and complimentary 24/7 shuttle service. And they're located right in the heart of Anchorage, the perfect jumping-off point for shopping around town. They also have a discount that's just for Alaskans. Use the code ALSK when booking your room or mention it when calling 907-562-1235. The Hyatt Place Anchorage Midtown.
Weather brought to you by GCR. Find Bridgestone and Cooper tires for every car, truck, motorhome, and SUV you drive. Everything you tow. GCR Tires and Service. The Tire Guys. Taming the Alaskan Road. Van Horn at Cushman.
KFAR. Weather.
Chance of snow. Today, otherwise cloudy. High of 17. East winds around 5 miles per hour. Mainly clear. Tonight, chance of snow. Lows level off around 8 above. Tomorrow, highs around 26. A dusting of snow today with another dusting tomorrow night through Thursday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Pruse in the studio here with Dana Pruse. Dana, how am I treating you so far?
Well, I'm impressed, Dave. Not bad.
That can change in a heartbeat, buddy.
That's right. I don't care if you're the mayor or not.
Yeah, or your brother.
That's right. You're younger.
Oh, boy. Ada, what's on your horizon?
Well, there's a lot of pre-flights for folks, for loans coming in. And, of course, we're dealing with the Ambler. We're dealing with Anwar. We're dealing with West Susitna. All those are, you know, we look at those as opportunities. They have challenges with them. You got to stay the course, and the best thing about all this, David, is that at the end of the day, every project stands alone and has to have some both economic and labor value to the state. You know, as I said, jobs, and so we kind of look at that as our guiding principles. So Ada is very, very busy, and it's a self-sustaining organizations, and what I mean by that is that in my tenure we've given $150-160 million of the dividends back to state. We don't use any general funds. We fund ourselves, our own operations, and we give up to half of our net proceeds profits back to the state as a dividend, and the state then can deploy that where it sees legislature and the governor where they see appropriate. And so it's one of those, I call it success stories. Between the Energy Authority and ADA, there's probably $4 billion worth of assets there. And the goal is to monetize those for the benefit of the residents of the state. So, you know, the good thing is the doors are open for business, and you never know what's going to walk in. But you want to make sure that you're there to take advantage for somebody that they can have an opportunity.
Let's go to Old Fairbanks.
All right.
Since you grew up here. What was your first job not working for Dad?
Oh my goodness, first job not working for Dad. Probably I was driving a belly dump.
Thurman?
No, actually it was between my junior and senior in high school and for Burgess Construction. And
Lloyd, yeah.
In Juneau, Alaska, I went down there. I'd never been to Juneau and brought back then you didn't have to have, I'm aging myself, you didn't have to have a commercial driver's license. And so, I'm 17 years old, between junior and senior in high school, and I'm driving a Peterbilt tractor with a trailer, to the Canadian border, down to Haines, and then on a ferry, and then downtown Juneau, spent the summer, working on the four-lane Eagan Expressway.
Hmm.
So, that was probably the first job not working for. As I tell everybody, I went down at 17 and came back at 27.
Dad always said, there are no child labor laws when you work for your parents.
No, that's right. No, it was a lot of fun. I learned a lot. And, obviously I had to come back for my senior in high school. And then the following year is when I went to work for Earth Movers.
What did you do for Jim?
Well, again, I drove truck for him. I did some surveying for him, ran some equipment for him. Actually did a little flying for him. We built the Ambler Airport back in the day, whatever he needed. And then my last few years of college, I, flew for Wright Air Service. And
didn't you fly for the laborers too?
No, I did a little part-time for them, but got out of college, went to work for AIC, a construction company, which is, was the follow-on to Burgess Construction. And ultimately, we moved to Anchorage in the mid-'80s.
Okay. Any good at shooting ducks?
I haven't had, you know, as you know, Dave, we've probably got a history.
We were killers.
We've got a history of bird hunting. Yeah. And those are fond memories. And being able to grow up and go out to a remote cabin at a young age, and, you know, you didn't have the iPhones, you didn't have the television sets.
You had a book or a magazine.
You had to entertain yourself,
you guys beat me up. That was your entertainment.
Yeah, building forts or cleaning boats or just running around looking
plucking ducks.
Yeah.
Shooting a squirrel.
Yeah, moose hunting. Yeah, those days are precious, and I think they mold us to be independent, which I think most Alaskans are. And we were very fortunate to have parents that allowed us to do that.
Your first, what I'd call big gun, was a .308. Can you still have that gun?
Well, actually, I gave it to Brother David's son.
I don't have a son.
Our brother Danny. I'm sorry, Danny's son.
Which one?
I gave it to
Palmer or Parker.
Parker.
Parker's a hunter.
Yeah, and but that was what we were. What with Dad up on the Taylor Highway, we're
caribou hunting.
I think we were so little that three boys sit in the front seat of an El Camino
with him.
So we were pretty small.
And one of us could lay across the back and sleep.
That's right, back and we did. And then that's the maybe I was 10.
You got your first caribou at Boundary.
That's correct. Yeah, and that was pretty exciting times. And of course, you know. I remember your first moose, and
you flew it out, man.
flew it out in the airplane, and you were in the back seat talking to the horns.
I was so proud of that moose, man. Yeah. I was so happy. Oh, I was talking to the horns. Oh, you are going to look so good mounted.
Yeah, I was worried about the weather getting back to Fairbanks as a 17, 18 year old with a pilot license, and I'm talking to you, and I think you're talking to me, and I turn around, and you're talking to your moose horns.
That's right.
And I'm,
that's 13, man.
I went, oh, this is great, but it's good times.
Yeah. Do you do any? You have a place on what, the Squintna or the Yentna?
So we have a place just above Lake Creek, which is 10 miles south of Squintna on off the Yentna River.
Okay.
We built it 15 years ago, and we basically it's a fishing place. So we get to kings and rivers.
Whose fishing place is it?
Well, it's a bride's. It's the Yentna. So, you know, as I tell everybody, when I show up, when I touch the ground there at the property, I go from the field general to the buck private.
Did you ever think you'd marry a wife with an addiction of fishing?
No, can't say, you know. But she lets me do what I want, and I'm not going to complain, and she likes fishing, and so enjoy and help her support that. But we're fortunate we get the... You know, Fish and Game does their job right. We get, you know, the kings, silvers, reds, rainbow trout, and it's a 30-minute flight from Fairbanks, or, you know, an hour and a half in a jet boat. Out of Anchorage. So it works out pretty good. You know, I can work during the week, and she can be out there, and I can go out and see her and get back to work.
Yeah, she doesn't come in the summer.
No, she pretty much, you know, like I said,
that's her spot.
I show up, I'm the buck private, and sometimes I have to be reminded I'm the buck private.
Now, your daughter, Danner.
Yeah.
She working for you?
She is. She's a project manager, and she's doing great. She's she's got a border collie dog, and so...
What type of ice cream do you feed it?
Yeah, well, you know, she catches me feeding it snacks from time to time. It gets me in trouble, but can't help it.
Ready for a phone call?
Sure.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Dana Pruse, and your name is?
Randy.
Hello, Randy.
Hi there. That is an off-the-wall question, but I was just wondering if you can tell me anything about the city of Hyder. Have you ever been there? The reason I bring it up is because I went to the craft show at the Civic Center on Sunday, and a lady was selling calendars, had a picture of downtown Hyder. I asked her, what's the industry there? What sustains them? Can you tell me anything about the city of Hyder in southeast Alaska?
Well, I've never been to Hyder. I think that's right there at the Canadian border, if I remember right. Never been there southeast. Can't tell you much about it other than I assume it's on the ocean, and I believe the Canadian border is right within the town there.
Yeah.
I was told you have to go through Canada get there. So anyway, yeah. Just wondered. That's all. Okay, well, thank you then.
Thank you very much, Randy. So Dad went to Cal Poly. Me, you, and Donnell went to Cal Poly. And your daughter, she graduated from Cal Poly. But your daughter got a degree in biomedical engineering. Well, now, where did that come from? That I know it didn't come from, you know, across the table from me.
No, I don't. Like I said, that's fortunately she has her mother's looks and her mother's brains. And so
her grandmother's brains, mom's. So, yeah, that was mom's side.
So I don't get to take much credit for much other than she's a great girl and adult, actually. She does very, very good, and she's a lot brighter than I will ever be, and I'm proud of that.
You know, I tell people this story about how giving or forgiving our parents were. And before Mom passed away, we're doing something, and she saw a person. And she told me she was a big bridge player. Remember the little trophy she had?
Uh-huh.
Big bridge player. And she was telling me about a hand that he blew in like 1967, and how he blew the hand. And I was thinking to myself, I was trying to get away from, you know, get away with stuff from this person,
yeah,
who remembers this mind. And
memory of an elephant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the investigating skills of Sherlock Holmes.
He didn't cross the hot Italian, that's for doggone
sure.
Oh,
man. She was something else.
Yeah.
So
you know, old Fairbanks, those are great days. You know, I can remember visiting with Dad about, you know, everybody work hard in the summer and try to prepay their bills.
Yeah.
You know, because there really wasn't any jobs in the wintertime. And so you paid as much as you could ahead. And then typically the small business owners, if they would, you know, extend your credit for a month or two until summer came and you get back working again. And, you know, those are precious times. And it makes a community, really,
mm-hmm.
in my view.
Everyone knew each other.
Everybody knew each other. Maybe more than they should know about each other, but
you knew each other.
But you knew each other, and you know it's families were close, and your neighbors, you knew your neighbors, you played with the neighbors. I mean, my gosh, Dave, we grew up, and Mom would kick us out of the house at 8 or 9 in the morning, and say, you know, be home by
at dinner
for dinner, and
5:15, don't be late.
Don't be late. And we were kids; we'd come back all dirty. She'd strip us in the garage of all our clothes. We'd have dirt clod fights and baseball games in the neighborhoods and. You know, harassed everybody, and you know, not where we were hoodlums, but we just played. In today's world, you know, parents kick their kids out 9 o'clock in the morning, so you'd be back at 5, but they'd end up with the police talking to them.
Yeah,
and it's just unfortunate, but we were on our own, and again, we didn't have an iPhone or an iPad or a computer. We had to go out and make something.
It was funny. There was a few times where we'd come home a little bit too dirty, and a little bit too late. Therefore, we had corporal repercussions.
Yes,
and you know, Mom would go up and run the bath water, and Dad would line us up at the garage door to come in, and he'd go youngest to oldest. And so I'd go first, and I'd get my one swat, and yeah. I'd be crying like I was being beat to death. You know, put on a good show, run upstairs, get in the tub. Danny go next, get his one. Then you'd come through, and you get two.
Yeah,
then we'd get in the tub. Mom shut the door, and we stopped crying. We started bragging about how our red stripe was. Who had the better red stripe on the backside?
Yeah. Well, you know, and of course. You know, as young boys, you know, we played hard and we slept hard. But at the end of the day, I think one of the things that, you know, kind of makes the neighborhood and the community fun, and as you as a mayor, you know, I'm sure you don't get to see this anymore, but I can remember 3 times in one summer, you know, we got our first little mini bike and we'd pile all of our friends on. It'd be 3 of us running around the neighborhood.
The police would bring us home.
Police would bring us home, and they'd say, well, Mrs. Cruz, here's your son, one of us again out on the street, and she'd give us the what for, you know, and the police officer knew what was going on. But in today's world, you know, you can't do that.
Dana, thank you very much for being on the show. Greatly appreciate it. Fairbanks, that is our show for today. Tomorrow, I'll have Nick Nugent. We're going to talk some history, and I'll see you tomorrow.